Blog Talk Radio.
Can anybody hear me? Can anybody hear me? Cool. How about that? Well, thank you to our friendly operator at Blog Talk, and the show has been extended. So we will not be done at 8:30 unless something else happens. How about that? But I'm not sure how much it's been extended. Oh, I'm getting it. Oh, sorry. Pardon me. All my cross technology here. Let's see what I can get. Maybe I can get into the show too. Let's see what happens. So, BL. So, as I was saying, I wondered about this Oklahoma thing because it's part of an area that is not on, but is indirectly related to the New Madrid Fault, where many people predicted some major earthquakes. And I thought I'd just see if there was any message from God in the name of the state. And I looked up, perfect if I actually bring up what I had open then. Let's see, why did that not do it? I looked up the meaning of the name of Oklahoma, and it comes from, I think, Choctaw, Indian language, and it is, okay, there's a chance. I'm going to try just to see if the studio works here. I'm going to try just starting a song. Hey, look at that. I have the power. So anybody who would like to call in, if somebody would please email Pat, and because I sent her an email and we were having problems. If you, anybody who might call in, if you could update them. Actually, there she is. Anyway, if you could email her, that would be really great because she just sent me one. Anyone can call in, I think now, and it should work. So that's really cool. And I have no idea how much time we have left, so another a voyage into the unknown. I can't hear. Oh, yep. Okay. So anyway, I was looking up the meaning of Oklahoma, and it comes, it's a two-part word. And we know God really speaks with us. One of the things that I found really fascinating in the Bible is when you see proper names in verses, especially where there's action, things happening there, it's amazing how often the meanings of that person's name convey additional meaning to those verses. It's almost like another message which parallels a lot of times. So anyway, Oklahoma means basically red people, and but if you take it back through the etymology, it's essentially saying Adam, like no, it's not a direct connection in the language, but the meaning's exactly the same because Adam means, you know, red or red person of red. And so it basically it means all humanity because of our red pigment. I'm trying to get myself sorted out. And so far, I don't see, is there anybody in chat that has tried to call in? Woohoo! Pat, is that you?
Oh, yes, I just got on. Alana just told me to call in.
Yes. Woo-hoo.
Yes, for 10 minutes. Yeah.
Well, I got the show extended when they fixed our problem, but
okay.
I don't know how long. So it's at least a half an hour, maybe more. And they apologized. They were very nice, by the way.
Oh, that's good. Gee, that's nice.
Yeah. So anyway, Pat, we've been having our problems. The studio wasn't working, and then we couldn't get back in. And I read a couple of things, and I was just explaining that something that I studied a while ago was that the, you know, Oklahoma's had a bunch of those earthquakes, and sometimes in the Bible, when you see proper names in a verse which is talking about something happening, if you look up the words, the meaning of those proper names, that there's additional insight and information in their names as part of this, part of the scripture.
Oh, sorry.
And so I looked up, that's okay, I looked up the meaning of Oklahoma, and Oklahoma basically means red man of red, or what it really, it's almost the same thing out of an, out of Choctaw that we have in Adam in the Bible, which basically says red. Yeah, yeah. And that was really an interesting insight. And I just wondered if all those earthquakes are actually, you know, if there's a message in God from them. Let's see what I can get going here. Who else do we have?
Oh, boy.
I have, I don't know if I should remember this. 210? Hello?
Yeah, that would be me.
Who's me?
It's me.
Hi.
Hey, everybody, it's Carol.
Oh, hi, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pat. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, honey.
Yep.
I'm glad you're listening.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm also, and I got 413 here. Hello, 413. Remind me who you are.
I'm Alana.
Hi, Alana.
Oh, hi, Alana.
Hello,
I'm a
my dear crew. I'm going to stand back and let y'all go at it. Let's use the as we can. Pat, Carol, let's go for it.
Okay,
yeah.
Honey.
You know, actually, in just a moment here, Alana, it would be great if we could go back over that email that I read that you sent to Judy, because I know the people on the line, not everybody was going to have heard it, and I think there's Tana. Hello, Tana.
Hi, I miss you all. I'm like,
hi, honey.
God wants Terry to run the show by himself again.
Oh. Love you too, honey.
I'm like, I'm at work. I can't even listen online. I'm like, no. Anyway, I love you all.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus, for working it all out. Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, they said they had about four other people saying the same thing. But anyway, here we are.
Yay.
And,
praise God.
I'm trying to open.
Holy Spirit, thank you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear an email from Alana.
Me too.
Yeah.
We need to do that.
Shoot.
So, Alana, would you like to sort of tell us about that? Because I think you can do a better job telling it than I did reading it, I'm fairly sure.
I don't know. I'm going to try to do this fast. And I don't know if I can explain it. I just want to get out of the way so others can speak. But I had a situation a week or so ago, work-related, but very critical to me. I have to support myself, you know. A job is serious. It's the difference between, you know, food and begging. It's just that real. That's how it goes. And and God carried me through that in such a way that I knew that it was his presence and his power and his grace. I dropped to my knees. I said, Lord, I need this. And by the way, I need it in a specific way. I need the person to help me, and I need him to help me buy that, da-da-da-da, and charge me, da-da-da-da, because you know I can't pay, Lord. And at the very end, the person said, yes, I can help you. And they had to help me by a certain time, and the time is tomorrow. And I was like, Lord, I heard you say you were going to save me, that you were going to help me now, and I'm not hearing, I don't have that confirmation. This person is dropping me. And so in my heart, I was saying, oh my, I'm not hearing. This is chance. And I've interpreted it as God. And I'm not hearing from him. And I went through a whole thing. And I had to balance that against faith. And I came in, and I didn't hear from the person yet. And I was sitting here listening to Judy's video. Yes, I was. And while I was listening to that, you know, Raina had gotten back to me on the name of the song, and it was Jason Upton's Face. And, you know, I also, I emailed the sisters, Pat, you here, so you know I emailed you, and
yep,
I was like,
yeah, you did.
This is working my heart, and this is like right here on the edge, and if there's a battle, it's raging in my living room, you know? And, you know, and I cranked on. I finally got in touch with Raina. She told me the name of the song. I clicked the song. I've never heard this thing. Jason Upton's Face. Y'all have probably heard it. I had not. His face, the phone rang. I opened the email. It was Pat emailing me back. It happened simultaneously 15 minutes before service started. And what it said to me is, baby girl, baby child, don't worry. I don't have words. I do not have words for what happened. I can't have faith. I've had a hard life. And God understands that. And I was like, you didn't bring me this far to drop me. And so maybe I'm tripping, you know. Maybe I'm tripping, you know. Maybe I just don't hear. And I'm like, if this works out, yo, I hear, I got. Mm-hmm. So that's my story. That's my testimony.
I got after him, and I gave it right back to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did that feel like
girl.
A? Did that feel like a rescue, Alana?
It felt like beyond. Have you ever seen that scene from, like, one of those dinosaur movies where the people finally get to the ocean and, like, the Marines come in and the helicopters come in? Jurassic Park, that's it. And that's what it looked like. And
yeah.
I was like, you clearly are telling me you want me to have faith. I got you. And I just have to praise God.
Yeah.
The Spirit was just all over me, and it just embraced me. And I wanted to share that with y'all because I want y'all to know that God is good.
Oh, yes. Especially when you get after
yes, amen. what an amazing timing, too, for you personally. But then also, you've got that just before we started.
Mm-hmm.
He's just screaming to us if we're willing to listen.
Yeah.
He really is.
And he's speaking to me about dates and times, and I'm listening because I was like, dare I believe what you are telling me, because I haven't said diddly about what he's saying, and I'm still not quite clear on whether I should. But, dare you spot on, yeah. It was there, and I was like, oh, man, I'm tripping. All this time I've been thinking he was talking to me. I went through the whole thing. Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes he's right at the last minute, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He's full of surprises.
And he comes in with the ring. So I want to give you that testimony, and then I'm going to go back to chat. I just want to tell y'all what God had done.
Well, good.
Today.
Very good, honey.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Alana. Thanks for being you. We love you. Thank you so much. And thank
good
you,
timing.
Pop. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Jesus, too.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
So, Carol, how have you been?
I'm doing well. I'm doing really, really good. I'm very content. I'm very happy. You know, the Lord hasn't, you know, he gives me little snippets about other things, but, you know, I'm posted earlier in chat, something you had mentioned, and we talked about this yesterday. You know, how the scripture says that Jesus was very strong and very firm about saying, you know, he came to divide and not to bring peace. And, you know, we fellowshiped about that. And then you kind of brought it out again today when you were speaking at the very beginning, right? And
mm-hmm.
then
That's right.
it also occurred to me, you know, we're just building on building on that premise. And I shared it in chat, but I'm going to share it again now about here. Isn't it interesting that back in the day of Nimrod, they were building the Tower of Babel, and they were all in one accord. They spoke one language. They were in unity, and they were going to build this tower that reached to heaven, so that they could overthrow God. I guess I don't know what their intention was, but obviously they were not following their Creator. They were not looking to Him. So, what did He do? He divided them. You know, He tore down the tower, and He divided their oneness. You know, he caused them to all speak in tongues. isn't that funny? I find that funny. He caused them to speak, you know, in different languages, and they couldn't understand each other, and the division came in. And that's why Jesus said, I came to divide, because that unity, that oneness, is a false unity. It's a false oneness. If we're not united in Christ, it doesn't matter how much peace and how much agreement everyone is. See, they're all united in rejecting Jesus.
Right.
That's what their unity is, in rejecting the Word of God, in rejecting our Savior, our Lord, our King. And that's why Jesus was so strong and firm. And I've just been getting it. Maybe it's my own personal revelation that the Lord wanted me to know. But that's how He works with me. You know, out of nowhere He'll suddenly give me revelation and insight on something I wasn't even aware of. But He does that to me, and I love it. That brings me closer to Him. That's why I love His Word. He's just awesome. He just, you know, the other day I was considering Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit fell on everyone, and He said, and when the Holy Spirit comes, let me find it, because I've read it like a gazillion times. I've read Acts, a gazillion times, but how we sometimes don't get revelation, and I know I'm just kind of like talking, but I'm just sharing with you guys what, you know, my own personal little experience. That's not the one. Let me see. Which one is it? It is when the Holy Spirit falls on everybody, in the upper room. Let's see. When the Holy Ghost. I'll find it in a second. Anyway, he opened my eyes, and I'll tell you now. Give me one second. I'm pulling. Here it is. It is 1:8. I'm pulling a Jerry. You're so funny, Jerry. You were talking, and we could hear you, and we know you were trying to figure out what was going on. But anyway, here's the scripture. Here's the scripture, that after all these years, and even though I had an understanding, but all of a sudden, after all these years, boom, the Holy Spirit really opened my eyes. He says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I finally got it. You know, after we are filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, some would say baptized by the Holy Spirit, but all I know is after you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God comes upon us. And I kind of knew what that scripture is, what it meant. But in the last couple of days, you know, when I read that, it's like, I get it. That unless we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't have that power. We won't have that anointing. And that, and while we're here in these very, very last hour, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can, you know, get the anointing and be filled and walk in His power to those who don't have the Lord. You know, it's all about when we have that anointing and we're filled with his Spirit. When we tell somebody Jesus is coming and we're under the anointing, they will listen, because the power of the Holy Spirit is on us, and it will just, you know, it'll just get on them, you know.
Right.
That's what I'm getting. It's like, wow, we need to be so filled with power, because when we leave, that we get our glorified bodies.
That's one of the things that he's building with us right now, for sure. I mean, all these experiences, like Alana's experience, and you know, every show, every service recently has been really led by him. You know, the way people have had things, they've called in and shared, and you know, I know I've had some experiences recently coming, leading in prayer, and without, you know, knowing it until later. And there's a lot of that. What have you? You know what, Pat, did you have something you read? What I thought I might do is play a song, and we'll get ourselves sort of pulled back together here a little bit.
Yeah, I have Lana.
Okay, I'm going to play a song, and then you can read that when it's over, and then I'll get something to
do. What would I do without your smart mouth drawing me in and you kicking me out? You've got my head spinning, no kidding, I can't pin you down. What's going on in that beautiful mind? I'm on your magical mystery ride, and I'm so dizzy, don't know what hit me, but I'll be alright. My head's underwater, but I'm breathing fine. You're crazy and I'm out of my mind, 'cause all of me loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, I give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning, even when I lose, I'm winning. 'Cause I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. Oh, how many times do I have to tell you? Even when you're crying, you're beautiful too. The world is beating you down, I'm around through every mood. You're my downfall, you're my muse, my worst distraction, my rhythm and blues. I can't stop singing, it's ringing in my head for you. My head's underwater, but I'm breathing fine. You're crazy and I'm out of my mind, 'cause all of me love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, I'll give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning, even when I lose, I'm winning. 'Cause I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. All your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning, even when I lose, I'm winning. 'Cause I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. Oh.
Beautiful song.
Beautiful.
We have all of each other.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yes.
Song of the Bridegroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
What's in the What's on the news?
Where's Keith?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, he's not on the board. But you know, I know. I'm sure people tried to call in earlier. And
I told them to call in.
Can get through. Okay.
He was fine. Yeah.
Anyway,
news.
Pat, if you're ready, you can go ahead. I'm going to mute myself just for a moment.
Okay. This is from Lana. It's called, let me get the title. Out with the old, in with the new. This is pretty good. Out with the old and in with the new. Do not despise the growing pains and moments of transition that are happening right now, for the Lord is making room for newness. The Lord is performing deep heart surgery on many to remove from their lives things that have held them down and kept them away from living the abundant life. I hope I didn't read this already. Things that have kept them caged. Go with the flow. He is calling you deeper, and every encounter with him and promise is fulfilled with display to you more and more who he is. Trauma, fear, and thorns of the past are being removed from hearts, and you will see more of his heart manifest in and through your life. Out with the old and in with the new. Change is happening for the body of Christ. Newness and harvest time has arrived. The birthing is happening now, and transition is moving to position. Hold on in the transition, for we are moving into position. This lady likes to rhyme. The growing pains are good. The moments of transition are training grounds to learn to trust him more than before and find him as your all in all, your life source, your joy, your peace, your everything. Worth is being birthed. I saw the Lord doing deep heart surgery in the body of Christ. As the people of God drew near to him, there was a sadness in his eyes. How we know this, guys. As I realized that he was longing so passionately for his people to see just how good he is, to see his fierce, radical love for them, and just how loved, adored, and full of worth they are. What the Lord is releasing the people of God into in this season as they seek him and align themselves with him, they must move forward in boldness of who they are in him, without fear and with a deep conviction of who they belong to and who they are. Circumstances have arisen in many lives which have brought a
sifting of the heart, a sifting to bring the weeds of lies about worth and value and position before him to the surface so that they may be removed by his love and replaced with the glorious truth of who they are in him and who he is. The birthing is happening now. The sons and daughters of God are coming alive into the revelatory truth of their position before him, and how gloriously loved and cherished are they. As this birthing is happening, fear, anxiety, depression, worry, dread, shame, and emptiness being healed. The revelation of worth is being birthed. The Lord wants his people walking further into this season of harvest and fullness and greater exploits with him, with boldness, no fear, confidence and strength. Carol, I'm thinking of you, in who they are and who he is. A new depth in him is happening right now and anchoring, so the people of God will not be shaken no matter what. The woo of heaven is happening right now. Come deeper, the Lord is calling. Dive deep into his arms and swim in the glorious revelation of his love and how cherished and loved and adored you are by him. You are powerful because of who you belong to and who you are. An explosion of revelation and greater exploits with him are about to be released through you as you dive deep. See you in the depths. Is that a good message or what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Carol, I knew you would love this one. I said, when I get to the end, Carol's just going to be clapping her hands.
You betcha.
It's everything you've been talking about, dear, you know, this how he loves us and how, you know, really how important we are in this day and age to just be him and bring others to him. You know, and just be powerful.
Yep.
We just speak it out. Let the Holy Spirit use you like a mighty warrior.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, definitely.
Amen.
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 Yeah, don't be afraid.
Yes.
And if you have to speak it out, speak it out. You know, even if you can't worry, but if the Holy Spirit wants you to bring forth something, even a conviction, you do it. You don't hold back through pride and respect, or, you know, we know how we get, you know, just let it out, you know, and let him minister to to people. There's some people need conviction. You can do it lovingly, but let the Holy Spirit, when you come before people, say, is there something you want me to say to them? Is there something they need? Be bold. Is there something that they need to be convicted of so that they have salvation? It takes courage to be that kind of a warrior, and there's not that many running around, but we are.
No.
And
right,
he expects
right.
that, guys. He expects us to speak his truth because the days are dark, they're desperate, they're dying, we're in a dying world, and even if the person might want to spit on you or whatever, that person's going to go home, and because you had the boldness to tell the person, but you do it out of love. Everything you do is out of love and mercy. Where is this all coming from? This Holy Spirit. You just do it, and God will speak to them later, because they souls are very sensitive. You have no idea, two things, how powerful prayer is and how sensitive a soul is. You do not realize. We do not realize. And when you speak to someone, even a look, if a gesture, a tone of voice, you have no idea the effect that has on the soul, because our soul is, Jesus is the soul of our soul. He is the most
That's
sensitive
right.
of all men. Yeah, okay. So the thing is, when you minister to others, they're going to go home and have a think about what you did, and God is going to get into that think in them. And you just might save somebody for him, because you're planting seeds. And even if you feel bad, and I know with my kids here, I have to get after them sometimes, and I don't like to upset the apple cart. I like everything, but I can't. And later they'll come, I just saw an angel. Later they'll come back to me, and I can see the fruit born, because I had the guts, the courage to say something, you know. But I do it out of love. I don't do it out of vengeance or
right.
I'm going to get you. But I'm doing it because, God, you got to learn something, people. You got, you know, to my kids, you got to learn something. You got to hear me. I know you
mm-hmm.
don't want to hear it, but I'm still the mother. I don't care if you're near 50 years old. I'm still the mother, and you're going to hear my mouth. But you're going to hear it because I love you. You're going to hear it because I love you, not because I'm trying to be mean or whatever. But it takes courage. Oh, my gosh. You don't want to be that way. You don't want to talk to people like that. But sometimes
right.
you gotta. And God's going to hold you to it. He's going to hold your feet to the fire. why didn't you say something? You knew that something was wrong, and you didn't say mm-hmm. anything. And we're all, I mean, just ask the Holy Spirit for the courage and the words, and he'll use you. Oh, boy.
Right.
Ask him. He will. Don't be
Absolutely.
Afraid.
Right.
Don't be afraid.
You know,
are so right,
there,
Pat. You are so right.
But it takes courage,
really
honey.
Is,
yeah.
There really is such a thing, though, as tough love. And it doesn't mean being mean. It means being
oh, no.
willing to deliver a harder message at the most important times.
You're delivering
and
a phone.
That's right. And, you know, we sometimes when we have guests, and this sort of came out of a vacation one time that we had, but, you know, we have a phrase around the house that I kind of initiated, and it's, we treat you like family whether you like it or not.
It's because you care. It's because you care.
That's right. Because sometimes
but it's tough.
Treating you like family.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's about the bigger picture. But
yeah.
But so it's
oh,
it's
it
men
takes courage. I'm the biggest
care.
Coward there is, and if the Holy Spirit doesn't give me the chutzpah to do it, I ain't gonna do it because I'm like a pussycat. I really am with you. I am. I hate to get upset, but there's been times here
yeah.
when I've been pushed to the wall, and I says, you guys don't want to do that to me, because then if I go off, you're going to run. You know, don't get me to that point, you know. My kids are
right.
basically pretty good. They got, it's the grandkids. Pray for my grandkids. Oh, if they get saved, that'll be a
Amen.
Miracle, because the world has them by the throat. And I, a
mm-hmm.
lot of people have their kids. The world has them by the throat. And they oh, they're nice
wow.
to you. They listen, but it's in one ear and out the other, and right over the head, you know.
Yeah, but
that's
you
the
know
worst
what?
Thing.
You're a living testimony to them, and when they need to remember, they will.
I think so, because
yeah.
they know I'm a Jesus
and,
freak, and that's going to rub off
know,
someday.
And you know what else, Pat?
Yes,
you know, it may appear that the world has them by the throat,
mm-hmm.
but remember, Lot was one who was under that same, you know, that same bondage. The world had Lot by his throat, but Abraham prayed, and when God had enough of Sodom and Gomorrah,
mm-hmm.
he went and rescued Lot before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
So the Lord is going to rescue your family.
Oh, I know. I know he
you
will.
Know?
But it
Isn't
hurts,
it,
Carol.
It
hurts to see them on the wrong road.
Right.
Yeah.
I know.
The minute they leave the
I
door...
get it.
And they're out in the world. The influence out there is pure crap. I mean, I got to tell it well like it is.
Yeah.
It is.
It
it's
is.
Pure death. It is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
it
that's
is.
Even really
it's
better,
death.
Pat, because at least the other is part of a healthy, natural process. But death,
mm-hmm.
it's death is just death. Death is just death.
Yeah. They leave the door,
hey,
they walk into hell.
I think we've
they
got
do.
Keith on the line. Keith, can
oh,
you,
great.
Are you near the phone?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Keith.
Hi, Keith.
Hey. We had a slow start there, huh?
Yeah,
it
our server was tied up in knots, but we've got another half an hour.
Great.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Yeah. I read
yeah.
Lana.
Do you want me to cover some news?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
they
do news.
Great.
Yeah, Carol was just saying, well, where's the news?
Where's the news? There's lots of,
where's the
news?
I said, where's Keith?
A lot of good bad news.
Where's Keith? That's why okay, I emailed
no.
you. Go ahead, hon.
This says, you're funny. This says the Hezbollah commander is killed in Iraq. Whoa.
Whoa.
The Hezbollah commander has died during a mission in Iraq.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's pretty crazy. I don't think it was the main leader. It sounds like one of them. Doctor quarantined in Canada after returning from Africa. That Ebola thing is getting crazy. It's wiping everybody out. Officials fear the largest Ebola outbreak in history could go global. Oh, boy.
Now, I'll tell you something after you finish the news that will be hopeful. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You were thinking of going to Africa to get to the rapture quicker, or what?
No. It, I just quick. the reason they're dying is that they don't get the intravenous. You don't have to die from this. If you go know that you have it and you get to the hospital, they can give you intravenous. They cure you up in a couple of days. Ebola does not have to kill you. These people did not get the medical treatment. That's why they're dead.
One of them was a doctor that
yeah,
died.
Yeah, they couldn't get to the stuff. I guess they didn't have the proper supplies or whatever. But they said if anybody gets it in America, they don't have to die from it. If you get it right, they just give you some kind of intravenous something, and it cures you. It clears you right up.
Yeah.
You got to get that into you.
So Keith, Judy wanted to be sure that I told you she says moo.
Moo.
Aww.
Hope you like the color red.
Moo, moo back.
Yeah.
Got to move.
Back to her. We have our own conversation now because I'm the red heifer and she's a donkey, so we don't be freaked out if we do things like that.
Yeah. Or you can go ahead, Key.
She was a mysterious woman in black. It says a social media campaign has gone viral on this woman in black.
Mm-hmm.
She was wearing a weird kind of outfit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She tells people about Jesus. Lord provide for her. She's doing the Lord's work. Okay. I didn't read the article.
Good.
Yeah. She looks like she's wearing an outfit from ancient times.
Wow.
Yeah.
God bless her.
Surprise. Large insurance companies are raking in cash thanks to Obamacare.
Mm.
Of course. U.S. homeownership rates slide to the lowest since 1995. So... yeah, we figured that. It's really bad. Nobody owns a home anymore. Driverless cars are heading into the British roads in 2015. They said it's dangerous because if someone is a terrorist, then they're going to love those cars.
Oh, wow. You
know, with no drivers in them, they could just do whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
If a Yellowstone supervolcano erupted, what could people do? How much? China ramping up to persecution of Christians. We know they're knocking down big churches and stuff. Sad.
Yeah.
And then the Big Brother Airport installed the world's first real-time passenger tracking system. Then there was a conversation that Obama had with Netanyahu. It was a real nasty conversation. You know, basically Obama's pissed because it's like, you know, he was ignoring Israel, of course. And then now he wants them to stop fighting and expects them to listen to him. But, you know, Netanyahu, you know, after being betrayed so many times, he's doing his own thing. So Obama doesn't have the power. Obama is basically, here's one part of the conversation that was leaked. Obama says, I demand that Israel agree to an immediate unilateral ceasefire and halt of all offensive activities, particularly airstrikes. Netanyahu says, what will Israel receive in return for the ceasefire? Obama says, I believe that Hamas will stop firing rockets. Silence will be met with silence. So that's a surefire way of saying we're definitely not going to give you what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Netanyahu says, Hamas violated all five previous ceasefires.
Mm-hmm.
It is a terrorist organization which is dedicated to the destruction of Israel. Obama says, I repeat and expect Israel to unilaterally stop all its military activities. The pictures of destruction from Gaza distance the world from Israel's position. Netanyahu says Kerry's proposal was completely unrealistic and gives Hamas a military diplomatic advantage. Obama, within a week of the end of Israel's military activities, Qatar and Turkey will begin negotiations with Hamas on the basis of the 2012 understanding, including Israel's commitment to remove the siege and restrictions. This is a joke. Netanyahu says, well, Qatar and Turkey are the biggest supporters of Hamas. It's impossible to rely upon them to be fair mediators. Isn't that a joke?
Right.
Obama says, I trust Qatar and Turkey, of course, because he is an antichrist and doesn't agree with Israel. Who the heck would say that? And Israel's in no position to choose its mediators, he told him. Netanyahu says, I object because Hamas is able to continue and to fire rockets and to use tunnels for terror attacks. Obama interrupts Netanyahu mid-sentence and says, the ball is in Israel's court. It is obligated to end all military activities. So we can see the kind of love relationship they have.
If Hamas doesn't stop, how are you supposed to stop yourself? I mean, hello?
Yeah, exactly. And you're supposed to have Qatar and Turkey, who are part of Hamas, agree with Hamas, whatever, to be the mediators. I just find that real offensive. I mean, basically, you can see he doesn't.
But even if Israel went in and got rid of Hamas, it's going to take years to do it. And then, I don't want to use the term cockroaches, but the more militants are going to come out. It's never going to end because other countries will send the militants to Gaza, and they'll keep digging tunnels, and they'll keep attacking Israel. It's never going to end until Jesus says something about it.
Right, right. That's right. And I should say that Keith's line dropped, so he lost his connection. There he is. Welcome back, Keith.
Continue.
I don't know. I think your line just dropped, I think.
Weird. Maybe because we were talking about Mr. O.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny how that does tend to go on. Hey, you know, I would add something there because Obama is Muslim Brotherhood, and Turkey is Muslim Brotherhood, and Hamas is Muslim Brotherhood, and Qatar is Muslim Brotherhood, and Qatar also, by the way, one of their primary people owns Al Jazeera, the Arabic news network.
Oh, great!
Which some people look at as an alternative to Western media, but they are also Brotherhood, and the Brotherhood is part of the one. The Brotherhood is part of the One World Order. So, and by the way. I just throw this in, Keith. They just announced a huge arms sale with state-of-the-art attack helicopters to Qatar from the United States and Europe.
Yeah.
Okay, Keith.
That's a joke. It's just Netanyahu should not care what Obama thinks anymore. They haven't figured out that he's the Antichrist, but one of these days, you know, someone will hit him in the head and he'll wake up because it's like, come on. Can't trust the U.S. anymore because they keep lying to Israel. It's like so sad.
Well,
but see, the Lord told me today, he showed me again today, this war, he says, will be the peace treaty war. And he clearly emphasized and showed me in a vision again, this war will go into Damascus and then there will be the nuclear bomb. There'll be the nuclear bomb in Damascus and then there'll be the peace treaty. And then the Gog Magog, the Lord, and every time I look at it, I can just see it in the spirit realm. I'm like, this is it. This is it.
Did you get a sense for how Iran fits into that?
Oh, bad.
The only thing I'm not seeing where the Iran-Israel strike is at. When I see it in a vision, I can feel it and see it. I'm just thinking that. The only thing that I'm thinking is I just feel, from my opinion, that the Iran-Israel strike is not part of the Gog-Magog. I've always felt that. I just feel like that's going to happen now. The Damascus thing, Psalm 83, the peace treaty, then the official Gog-Magog war. I just don't feel like that. It's very interesting, though, because you know it's so weird, because the Bible says that here's the deal. The Bible says in the Gog, so maybe it would be part of the Gog Magog, but not officially. The Bible says that when Israel strikes in the Gog Magog war, the Bible says that weapons will be burned for 7 years. So technically, some form of that Gog Magog has to start at the start of the tribulation, because otherwise, if it started in any other time in the tribulation, that would mean the tribulation would be longer than 7 years. See what I'm saying?
Well, except that burning could go on beyond the establishment of the millennial kingdom.
I don't think so, though. I think when Jesus comes, he's going to just – I don't think we're going to have – I think he's going to clean things up immediately. But, I mean, you're right. It could go on for a little while until he does clean things up. I just seem – yeah, it could. I just seem to think that would start pretty soon. I always have gotten that burning is going to be – the nuclear reactor is going to burn for 7 years. Just
which
like the one is
Fukushima?
Like the Israeli one?
Yes, the
which
Iran one?
One.
I believe the Iran nuke site, when Israel attacks the Iran site, that'll burn for 7 years just like Fukushima is.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing that keeps coming to me, and I've gotten that in a vision before. That would be the thing that would just keep burning and burning. So, but I'm thinking, Jerry, that it's got to be first. You know, Prophet O.R. is leaning towards now rather than later, you know?
Yeah.
And the Ukraine,
you know.
we have troops along the border.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's a mess.
Yeah,
And that's the only other thing in the news would be that EMP attack is a great threat to the USA. But, yeah, keep talking about that war. That's interesting.
Well, the Ukraine thing is interesting because there are now rumors that there's a troop buildup and you know, they're just from so-called reliable sources. So I think we're not, completely sure, in our own perspective. But, but if they do that, a huge troop buildup there is not that far. And I, by troop, I also mean equipment. Is not that far from the Middle East. They could come right down. They could come right down from Ukraine through Georgia and Azerbaijan and into Turkey and Syria.
Yeah.
And it's a ways, but it's nothing like the distance that equipment will travel to get to Ukraine. It's a much shorter distance one way or the other. And,
but Putin's, go ahead.
We'll have to see how those things go, but there's a lot of, what we see is we see troops and equipment pouring into that area on every supposed side of like never before, and Ukraine is, but I mean we're seeing stuff going on, and even the declared arms sales are at the highest point ever to the Middle East and the Gulf region, the Persian Gulf. So there's a lot going on there, and in the end, I still, one way or the other, how the dominoes exactly fall, it just looks like everything is adding up one step at a time to getting tighter and tighter on Israel, just seems to me. And, we love Israel. It's God's land. God loves the land of Israel.
Oh, yeah. The apple of his eye.
However, he has, it's very clear in Scripture that he has declared judgment on those people in Israel right now who are not on his plan, who are not drawing near to him. And
are three-quarters going to die?
I think it's actually two-thirds.
That's what I mean, two-thirds.
Two-thirds. Yeah. But, it might be a miracle that it's that many survive.
Yeah.
In fact, more than likely, it will be an extraordinary miracle.
I wonder if they're going to use that bomb on from Iran that Iran's giving to Hamas to do Israel in. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Wow. Putin said it's World War III. He said this is World War III. He said that recently.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise
me. And, the problem is, everybody shout out the name of a world leader you trust. Silence.
There is nobody.
That's right. So what do we do? We trust our Lord and his leading for us. And we try to discern things as best we can. But, we know we are out of here before this stuff really gets... we see the build-up for it, and that's why we watch, because that's why it's so absolutely tantalizing to watch all these things evolve and the stage be set.
It's crazy.
When you see the stage being set, the show is going to happen really soon. And here we are, and we're watching it, we're seeing it, and quite frankly, I believe that every day that the sincere believers are here, every day he puts off taking us out of here, or he has a specific time, I'm not saying specifically a delay, but I mean every day that we're here, you know, our presence messes with the plans of evil. And remember, the evil one, he actually wants everyone dead. You know, some people think they're on his side, but they're deceived. And you know, he wants everyone dead because everyone is part of God's creation. And God would save everyone that he can. We see these things taking their course and building up, and as a matter of fact, where we hope to be is right here.
Oh, I love this. Sing with it. My granddaughter just played that the other night. She's got four ukuleles, all different sizes and sounds, and she sang that on the ukulele the other night to me. So I love that song with a passion. My hands are so fat, I can't get around the neck of the ukulele of the guitar. I can't play the dang thing.
It's one of the few things that I really know about playing musical instruments. Certain ones fit certain people better.
Yeah. I do the piano and I sing. Forget the guitar. I wish I could, but I can't.
Yeah.
With between arthritis and stuff, forget it.
But anyway, that was lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely song.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I was just looking up here, and I don't know if I quite got it. I was kind of looking for something here at the end of the month. I really, I have had a bit of a sneaking suspicion about tomorrow for a couple of different reasons.
Mm.
And so, you know, it could be any day, and but looking at that, and then especially as we get into next week on Saturday. In fact, that was actually something else I was having trouble looking up, all the things I'm looking up with my earlier chaos. And you know, we're just in this time that even for Israel, and we see it in the real world too, I mean, tremendous amount of trouble for Israel, and it's just screaming prophetic meaning. I saw a statement where they were saying, you know, by some measures, this military action, basically war that they've got going in Gaza, is, you know, one of their more costly, prolonged military engagements in spite of the dramatic events that have happened in the history of Israel. So, in you know, with some measures, this is actually a pretty significant thing for them. We, you know, and I would even say that it's, you know, for me, maybe partly because I've expected it, I sort of minimize it a little bit, but it's so hard to remember that this place called Israel is a nation, is basically the size of New Jersey, and about a third of that is dedicated to the two areas called the West Bank, and then also Gaza.
Yeah.
And so it's a, by nation standards, it's a tiny, tiny place. And, you know, it's, you know, the culture over there is almost like a friendly city because, you know, they feel in close proximity to everything, which they are, and everything around them. And so, you know, any kind of major military engagement is a huge undertaking and a huge involvement of the entire culture over there. There's no way around it anymore. And so it's very dramatic from their point of view, and I you know, and of course the kind of coverage we get would never reflect that. Pat, you mentioned earlier about something about the medical care and how people were dying because of a lack of quality medical care. I watched a video from the Gaza area at the front of a hospital today, where people, their fighters and whoever they were young men, so most likely they were fighters who were being brought in who had been shot. And, you know, it's chaos out in the street, out in the front of the hospital, and, you know, they have to literally shove people out of the way to get the gurneys out of the ambulances, and then they take it through the door, and then there's footage of inside the hospital, and they've got this huge triage area on the first floor of the hospital, and people are laid out everywhere, and nobody can even move. There's so many people in there, family members and what have you. There's no order. There's no organization. Just the fact that the medical staff can't walk freely from one end of the room to the other is tremendous. Yeah.
Plus, there's over a million have no power. They have no power. The lights are out, you know, on top of all that.
You know, and these are the people, these are the people who want to run the world. I mean, come on. Just get over yourself.
It's pathetic. It's sad. But my heart breaks for the civilians being killed. And Hamas is like, well, yay for you. You mean you're the heroes. I mean, are you even trying to save these people, or you just don't care because you just want to get Israel and you don't care at what price, because they want to kill every Jew in Israel.
That's all they care about. Yeah. They're not care. There's over 1,000, you know, killed and thousands injured. I mean, what about these people? And what is the UN doing? You know, I mean, can you get in there? You know, they can't even get to the plane now that went down in over by the Ukraine because there's landmines in the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I actually predicted that as soon as that aircraft went down, because I thought it was suspicious. And my perspective at the time was, gee, you know, let's just say you want to dispose of an aircraft and a bunch of people on the aircraft, and you want a really murky situation, and you don't want anybody to really look at the details and get too many facts. What a perfect place to have the aircraft go down in the middle of a war zone. I mean,
how convenient.
You know, yeah, it's extraordinarily convenient. And for people who, you know, want to distort and cover the truth. So,
well, it's like we can't tell you anything because we can't get in there. So forget about the truth. And you know what time does. After a while, it's like, oh, well, enough time passed by. I'll let it go. And we'll never know. Not until the Lord tells us.
Right, right. You know, I'm looking up this Saturday. Is a day that I think Anna had, this is my guess, is when she thinks is her particular day to poof, if you will, 777 AEJ. And the Lord has had me looking. It intrigues me for a couple of reasons, one of which is that he's had me looking at the Sabbath. And the readings of the Sabbath for a long time. I've mentioned that on and off just to, in following the history and how it works. And I just pulled up the one part of it. It's from Isaiah 54 and 55, the Haftarah,
mm-hmm.
they call it, for the reading for that Saturday. And chapter 55, verse 1 through 5. And these are the last three verses of this section of the reading. Incline your ears and come to me. Hearken, and you shall be revived. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, the enduring loyalty promised to David, as I make him a leader of peoples, a prince and commander of peoples. So you shall summon a nation that you did not know, and a nation that did not know you shall come running to you for the sake of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, who has glorified you.
Uh-huh.
And this is about a nation other than Israel who has a relationship and essentially is raised by God. And then the other reading is from Deuteronomy, and it starts out, and I haven't read all the way through it, but it starts out, see this day I set before you blessing and curse.
Mm.
So how interesting that is, being taken and left. Blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I enjoin upon you this day, and a curse if you do not. And then a lot of times I'll scan down to the bottom. And let's see, I'm just seeing here, this is chapter Deuteronomy 16, and it goes through verse 16, and I'm just going to read here beginning at verse 13. After the ingathering from your threshing floor and your vat, you shall hold the Feast of Booths for 7 days. So this is an instruction for the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. Anyway, I'll just skip down. Three times a year, on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on the Feast of Weeks, and which is Pentecost, and or the Weeks of Pentecost, and the Feast of Booths, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place that he will choose. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed, but each with his own gift, according to the blessing that the Lord your God has bestowed upon you. So we hope to appear before the Lord our God and very, very soon
How could it not be very, very soon? It's got to be very, very soon.
That's right. That's absolutely
right. I mean,
right.
He told us what to look for. We've looked for with this generation, and we see it, so we know he's on the way. I mean, what other sense can you make of this time we live in and what he said? You
right.
put it all together,
yep.
and it means
yep.
we're going to fly. It's got to mean that. What else could it possibly mean? Nothing else makes
yep.
sense. You can't make sense of this world. You can't go anywhere. You can't raise your kids. Nothing. There's nothing out there but death.
No, everything's in decay, and I think a lot of people see it, really. I think they just don't know what to do about it.
I hope so. Oh, they will soon.
I think a lot of people see it, ironically, the place where you are most able, perhaps, well, the Europeans maybe, but we know, it's still possible in this country to, under certain circumstances, personal circumstances, to not be too observant of it. But we also know that, so many people have gotten the words of judgment. Judy's gotten the word of a tremendous judgment is coming on this land and the people of this land. And it literally is a crying shame because the love of God of the people who have been here before and the God, and I'm sure, the love that God has for this nation, because it was this land and this nation was founded at least in part in His name. And,
I'm
going to
tell you something
that,
Jesus said to me the other day. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. Go
no,
ahead.
Go ahead. No,
I
okay.
was praying to Him, and this is powerful, guys. It's taking me courage to say this. He said to me, I'm trying to put it in His words, and it's real short and sweet. He said, the love that He has from us, He says it's the very love that holds off divine justice. The love that He has from us, the ones who are really, really, really loving Him and consoling Him, He says that love is so powerful that it holds off divine justice. That's for all of us. And He said that to me before a while ago. But, yeah, that the love that He has from the ones who are really loving Him, the quality of the love, that we believe in Him and console Him. He is being consoled so much. He is so in love that it's the very love, He said, that holds off divine justice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Judy's gotten essentially that word too. I mean, that's why she
yeah.
made that that video
yeah.
about, our presence literally.
Yes.
Forestalling.
We're consoling Him.
Justice.
Yes,
that's right.
We're stalling,
and,
because He's in
he's
love
using
with us.
Our presence.
This is a bridegroom that has found a bride to really be in love with, to really be in love with. You know what happens when you're in love? Do you feel the pain of anything? You're walking on air all the time. God's walking on air because He's in love with us. He has to do what He has to do, but we're consoling Him, and it's not going to be
right.
as horrendous for Him because He's in love.
Right.
Our human, beautiful bridegroom is in love.
Part of that consolment.
Does that make sense?
Simply,
I hope that makes sense.
No, I think it makes total sense. And I think, I was just going to say that, our faith and
mm-hmm.
our love, that we're going
mm-hmm.
forward, even though that we can see all these things,
yeah.
that's a comfort to Him too, because
yes.
It's a tremendous testimony and it's a contradiction to the world's reality.
Yes.
And
don't expect the world.
We are living,
they think we're nuts.
But we're living in His reality.
Yes.
And what a wonderful both gift and blessing that is to Him.
He is in love with us. Isn't that so fabulous? Because He's the God-man.
Yeah.
He's our beautiful human God. Yeah. He's our bridegroom king, our Savior spouse. He's in love with us. Apparently, He has found something with us that has made Him so consoled, that He is in love to the point that He doesn't have to feel the full weight of what He could feel otherwise. That's what He's saying, that our love for Him. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for sticking
okay.
with us. I'm just going to give it a short shofar blast, and we'll be out. Okay, bye everybody.
Love everybody. Okay, group hug in the air with Jesus in the middle, or whatever. If we're here, we still say salt
right.
and yak.
doggy pile on Jesus.
Oh, you bet. He'll love it. He's one of us.